wickedness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Father, again we ask that you bless our time, bless the reading of your word, guide our hearts and our thoughts according to your will this morning. I pray, Father, as we continue to worship and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that, Father, our hearts would continue to remain tender. Tender, Father, to your grace. Tender to your mercy and love in our lives. Father, tender to the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I just want to remind us of the gift of God that we have been given. That gift being eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Paul writes to the believers at Rome, he reminds them, and I love the fact that he uses the past tense when he says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. The fact this morning as we sit here, the children of God, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, having put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we were sinners, condemned, but now we're the children of God and we have the gift of eternal life because Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life for us and for the entire world, laying down his life, his sinless life, to die for crimes he never committed, to shed his blood that we might have remission of sin. And there was a day in your life where you made a decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And in verse 17, Paul says of these believers, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. There was a decision made from the heart one day in your life and one day in my life. That decision has changed our destiny. That decision has changed our life. It hasn't changed the trials we've gone through, the blessings that we've had. It hasn't changed the things in life that we face, but it has changed our course. Because there was a day in our life that we were on a course headed to destruction, headed to a place that is a separation of God, a place the Bible calls hell. Now, the Bible talks about the flames and all of that, but think about where God isn't. The place where God's not, there is no love, there is no grace, there is no mercy. And there was a day in our life where we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. There was a day in your life where you obeyed the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You obeyed God's word that said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believed with your heart that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave and that he did die for your sins and that he gives eternal life. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There was a day that from your heart you decided to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that moment that you decided, the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life and has never left you nor forsaken you. There was a day where you decided from your heart because your mind had been changed. There was a decision in your mind. Notice what it says again in verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. You obeyed. Because what changes our heart is what we think. And the Lord has changed our heart. It's a repentance. We repent because our minds have been changed, because our heart has been affected. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." His disciples were troubled because Jesus was approaching that moment. They were in Jerusalem. He had been telling them that he was going to be crucified. He was going to be handed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. But he told them, "I'll rise again 3 days later." But they were missing the 3 days later. They forgot that. They could only focus on the part that Jesus said that he was going to depart from them. He was going to be crucified. And he tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, there was a decision of our mind because our hearts had been affected. Our hearts had been affected by the Word of God. Our hearts had been affected by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. We changed our thinking of who Jesus was. Because again, not everybody, no one's born believing in Jesus Christ. No one is born saved. Everyone's born a sinner in need of a Savior. And there is a day where that was made. It was revealed to you. It was revealed to me. And our hearts were affected. Our thinking was changed. There was a day where we realized, "I need Jesus Christ." There was a day where we realized and said, "He rose from the grave for me. He did all of that for me. Why shouldn't I put my faith and trust in him? Why shouldn't I follow him? Why shouldn't I let him be the Lord of my life? He did all of that for me." 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." There was a day where your mind was changed on who God is and what God did for you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Many people think they have to turn over a new leaf. They have to change their life in order for God to receive them, in order for God to love them, in order for God to accept them. But there was a day where you realize, you know what? All of my good works are as filthy rags. God does not receive my good works. He receives the finished work of Jesus Christ. And our minds were changed that, you know what? Jesus did it all for me. There's nothing I have to do. And we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, "In that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." In Matthew 16, the Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Many people have their opinions of who Jesus is. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was not the Son of Man. He was the Son of Man. Everybody has their opinion, but those whose hearts have been turned to Christ and drawn by the Holy Spirit because of the grace of God realize on a day that God opens their eyes and opens their understanding that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the express image of God's love for me. There was a day that we decided to follow Jesus by putting our faith and trust in him because our hearts had been drawn to him. Our thinking had been changed, and now we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. In verse 18, because we made that decision to follow Christ, because we made that decision to believe that there's an empty tomb because Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, because 3 days later, after being laid in that tomb, after being crucified, beaten beyond recognition, that when those ladies came to that tomb and the stone was rolled away and they looked in, the body was not there because Christ had risen. He had risen from the grave. He had conquered death and hell for us. to give us life because we decided to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and in that empty tomb, we were given deliverance. Look, notice verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Being then made from sin, there was a time where you were in bondage to sin. You were in captivity, never to get out. Nothing you could do. No key could unlock the lock of bondage. But the blood of Jesus Christ delivered us because we had put our faith and trust in him. Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Once Jesus redeems, once Jesus delivers out of bondage, you never go back into bondage. The devil can never put his clutches back around you and drag you into hell where he wanted to drag you in the first place. Because we decided to believe in Jesus Christ and call upon his name, we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of God's grace, we have the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, "And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." You and I have been delivered. We're not under the penalty of sin anymore. No longer will we stand before God and be judged for our sin and be cast into the lake of fire. We've been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ because of God's forgiveness, because he has shed his grace upon us, because there was a moment in your life that you decided to believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. We celebrate the empty tomb because the empty tomb reminds us of the victory that we have. It reminds us that God came to this earth that he created, robed himself in flesh, lived a sinless life that we could not live, to die a death we could not die for the penalty of our sin, to be buried in a tomb, to rise again 3 days later, to give life and to give it more abundantly. You and I have victory in Jesus Christ this morning. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He died for your sins, my sins. He died for your trespasses. He died for your iniquities. He died so that you might be justified, just if you had never done any of those things. Because once forgiven, always forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed our transgressions from us. And because you decided to follow Jesus, and you've been delivered from the power of sin, he's given us his gift of eternal life. Look at verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our destiny has been changed because of repentance. We repented of our own ways. We repented of our own thoughts, turned to follow Jesus, and we have a new destiny. We have a new place that's been prepared for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that ye may be where I am. We don't deserve it. What we do deserve is what Romans 5:12 says. Because Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve separation from God because of our sin, because we are sinners. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Not a single person who's not a sinner. Doesn't matter what their occupation is, doesn't matter what their nationality is, doesn't matter what their lifestyle is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 20 and verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, there's condemnation. There's separation from God. That's what we deserve because of sin. But because of Jesus Christ, because of the cross of Calvary, because of the empty tomb, because of your faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work, what we deserve, we don't get. What we get is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were given eternal life because of our faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. Take your Bibles and look at 1 John chapter 5, because what we are given is eternal life. Because of the mercy, because of the love and the grace of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, the Bible says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You and I and everyone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone, not in Jesus Christ and baptism, not in Jesus Christ and baptism and prayers, not in Jesus Christ and baptisms and prayers and church membership, not in Jesus Christ plus anything, but in Jesus Christ alone, we've been given eternal life, God's gift. The greatest gift that any single person can receive in their lifetime. It's a gift that we can't buy. It's a gift we can't earn. It's a gift we simply receive from God by faith because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's gift. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said again in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." There was a day you decided to walk through that door. There was a day you decided there were multiple doors. There was the door of pride, the pride of life, you know, doing your own thing, going your own way. And then there was this obscure door that very few walk through. That as the Holy Spirit worked in your heart and was drawing you to Christ, and God enlightening your eyes and helping you to see by faith that the door of Jesus Christ was the greater choice and the better choice. And as Jesus is that single door, and as you walked through that door of faith, you walked into new life. You walked in having been given eternal life, the gift of God. Many people celebrate today in various ways. Many people are in church today celebrating the resurrection, celebrating the empty tomb. But some are doing it with heavy hearts because they're not secure in their salvation. Their thoughts are troubled because they're not quite sure, is there a place prepared for me? They're not quite sure if they said the right prayer or have done enough good works. They're not quite sure, does God accept me? Does God love me? because they're thinking about people who have not loved them or accepted them or have told them you're not good enough. But the Heavenly Father has manifested his love on the cross of Calvary. He has shown us that he truly does love us. He truly cares about us. He truly has compassion for us. And he was willing to lay down his life. Again, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In verse 10 of John 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that I might give life and that they might have it more abundantly. You have more life today than you ever had before because of Jesus Christ. You and I can experience the joy of the Lord every day of our life because of an empty tomb. Because the empty tomb proves that Jesus not only lives, but he is God. And he has all power to fill your heart with joy and with peace, all power to help your thinking to be Christ-honoring, that you're not troubled by your thoughts, but your thoughts help you to be focused on who Jesus Christ is, the author and finisher of your faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll end with these two verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You and I and every single person, again, who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the empty tomb, the fact that he ascended back up to the right hand of the Father and sits in his rightful place until the moment the Heavenly Father says, now go get my children. The moment the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise and those which are alive at the coming of Christ rise also in what's called the rapture. We look forward to that day because we know our blessed hope is Jesus Christ. And we know that not only does he walk with us now and carries us through this life by his grace, and we walk by faith and not by sight. We know one day we'll see our Lord and Savior who willingly, listen, lived a life filled with hatred by others, mockery, scorn, people plotting his murder, people spitting on him, people taking all their anger out on him and scourging him and nailing him to the cross. And he hangs on that cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The fact that he died for every single one of us that we might have life. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 reminds us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's gift is an eternal gift that can never be taken away. God gives that gift to every single person who calls on Jesus Christ by faith to forgive them of their sins, to come into their life. It's God's gift, and God never takes his gift away. And no one can take that gift away. This morning, you celebrate the gift of God that's been given to you, the gift of salvation, that eternal life. You understand this morning the wages of sin is death, but because of God's grace and love and mercy, he extended the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We celebrate the empty tomb today, because we know that he lives. And how do we know he lives? He lives within my heart. My life has been changed. And it's only by his grace and love that I can face the things I face in life and come out on the other side as pure as gold. Father, we do thank you for your precious gift this morning. We thank you, Father, for the remembrance of what the tomb reminds us of, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And we have life because of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless our time. Continue, Lord, to bless the next hour as we fellowship around the breakfast table, and even as we prepare for the 11 o'clock hour, Lord, to celebrate and to worship more about you and more about the empty tomb and more about the new life that we have in Christ. Father, I ask that you'd bless every single person in this room and every single person that shows up this morning. Father, minister to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be reminded of your love and grace towards us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.